It's time for Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. A moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. Listen to real-life testimonies from women and men just like you who have gone from victim to victorious. Sit back, listen, connect in the chat room, and share the show with a friend. Here's your host, author, and motivational speaker, Nicole Cleveland.
Welcome to this week's episode, titled My Child Has Cancer, with my special guest, Adriana Lewin. Now, Adriana is the founder of FamilyChemotherapy.com. Adriana created this website to be a resource for individuals that were going through the same thing she was going through. Her four-year-old was diagnosed with cancer. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome to the show, Adriana. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you for having me on. My name is Adriana Lewin. I'm a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas. And a little bit about myself, basically, I grew up in Texas my whole life in a little, well, it's a small town, Allen, Texas, but everybody's heard of us because of our super giant football stadium and one of the largest bands in the nation. So that's where I'm from. And I have three kids, 6, 4, and 2 years old. I'm very busy. And I am married. I married my best friend and he's just amazing. And I'm very blessed that we are married. And I guess part of the reasons why, you know, we got in communication with one another was because, I have been through quite a bit in the past few years, and one of those being that my now four-year-old son was diagnosed with cancer last year on the night before Thanksgiving. He was diagnosed with rhabdomyosarcoma, and it's been a crazy year for us, and, you know, having to deal with chemo with a child during a pandemic has also presented its own challenges, but he is actually doing well. His last scheduled chemo is next Monday. And after that, we do final scans and we test to see if we're checking to see if everything is clear. And if so, then we get to say that we're officially off treatment. So yeah, we're pretty ready for the next stage.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. My prayers are with you.
Thank you.
I can't even imagine what you're dealing with and going through, but my prayers are yet with you. You know, I was introduced to you, connected in a group, and I was fascinated by what you do. And I said, I have to have you on the show because Breathe Again is a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. Because when we're going through, at times we feel like we're the only ones that are going through. We're alone, no one understands, we're by ourselves because a lot of people aren't as vocal as yourself or myself, and we're not out sharing, and people are kind of in their own little world and their own little bubble. And I believe when we go through, we have to help other individuals. And so that's what led me to you and what attracted me to you. So you have a graphic on your website, and that is Family Chemotherapy, and it's familychemotherapy.com. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right, listeners, if you're listening right now and you want to go over there and check out familychemotherapy.com, I want you to come back though. So don't stay long. We want you to listen to the show, but I do want you to connect with Adriana and see what she has going on and, you know, help her and forward it to people that really need to hear from her because she is really doing a service for individuals that are going through. But you have a graphic on your website and the caption reads, you never ever forget the day you first heard the words, your child has cancer.
Yes.
Can you take me back to that day, Adriana?
Oh, wow. As I mentioned, it was the day before Thanksgiving. And during that week, well, I say during that week, but it literally had been almost a month of me going to doctors multiple times in a week saying something's up, something is off. I'm just sensing, you know, that something is going on. And something I didn't share with you is that a year prior to that, my younger brother, who was one of my closest friends, and we were both kind of came back to Jesus during college, and we were each other's roommates during college and had the same friends. Well, my brother a year prior in 2018 had passed away very unexpectedly. Basically, they weren't able to determine what happened. And they basically said it was just brain death with an unknown cause. And so that was really traumatic.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. It was just very traumatic. It was my only experience, honestly, with a loved one close to me passing away, and not having answers just created this anxiety in me. So I was constantly on watch for myself. And, you know, so kind of fast forward to last year, he was 3 years old. He was telling me, Mom, my eye and my head hurts. And it was a day after he had gotten a bump on the head. And, you know, I thought, okay, maybe he got a concussion. Even though we watched him closely the day before, we're like, okay, well, he's still complaining about it the next day. And I don't understand why he was complaining about his eye. And in the back of my mind, I had what had happened to my brother kind of, you know, lingering. And so I really started pushing for answers because I had a lot of anxiety. And so I got brushed off multiple doctors. I actually had one doctor tell me that I was hyper-focusing on the asymmetry in his face, because at that point, nobody else would be able to notice it except for my husband and I, unless we like pointed it out and we're like, man, his eye looks a little asymmetrical. It was just kind of slightly, it looked like puffy, just a little puffy on one eye. And so, they told me that it was, you know, I was hyper-focusing, and I'm like, I have pictures, like, I know my child. I nursed him. Right. Yeah.
I'm like, I live with him.
Yeah. I'm like, I know my child. Every ounce, every little tiny inch of his body, I know it. And so it took me about a month to get someone to finally listen. And I really tell you, I really feel like God's hand was in all of it, because from the time that Monday before Thanksgiving, I basically had this prayer to God, and I was like, God, everyone's brushing me off. I feel like I'm crazy. I feel like my brother's loss is just like really messed with my mind, but I feel like something is wrong and I need answers and I need someone to listen to me, because at this point I've gone to different specialists and I can't get anyone to take me seriously. And I had done a lot of research, Dr. Google, and I had an idea of what was going on, but I didn't think that it was cancer. You never really go to cancer. I was like, oh, he's probably got maybe a tumor, but I didn't think it was cancerous. And so when we got an MRI, we're on our way home, and I literally remember exactly where we were when we were exiting the highway when I finally got the call. And I was thinking it was just a courtesy call from it was the ophthalmologist who actually ended up getting the MRI requested. And I thought she was just giving us a courtesy call so that we didn't have to wait until the following Monday, being that it was Thanksgiving weekend. And I heard it in the car. You know, she said, the radiologist feels very strongly that there is a mass that's indicative of rhabdomyosarcoma. So you need to get to an emergency room, the closest emergency room for children's as soon as possible. And time is of essence. And she said, I wish I could give you information for, you know, like her specialist that she would refer me to. But unfortunately, because they were on vacation for Thanksgiving and it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon, she's like, you have to go to the emergency room. And that was the day that we found out. Yeah. And that day we sat in the emergency room for 5 hours. We didn't get home till shortly after midnight. And basically they sent us home and said, everybody's on vacation. Like all the specialists are on vacation. You have to wait a week before you can get a biopsy done. And that just didn't sit right with us. And so on Thanksgiving Day, even though I was providing the main dish for, you know, the family, I just sent it off and I said, I'm sorry, I just can't come. Like we've got things to figure out and I just don't feel like I can really be in the presence of other people without bringing down the mood of everyone else. And so that evening we ended up going to Houston. We drove the 4 hours. We just decided like, okay, I really felt like God had put it on my heart that I needed to travel to Houston and that he would just open the doors for us, that he would move somebody's heart enough to bring like a doctor, a very special doctor, because it had to be a specific surgeon, which is super specialized, which is called an oculoplastic surgeon. And so, you know, I just felt like God has said, I will move someone's heart. You just show up. And, you know, in those moments, you think, is this like just me being optimistic? Is this the Holy Spirit? Like, what is it? You know?
You definitely were being led.
Yes. Yeah. And so I definitely told my spouse, I said, hey, if we go and nothing comes of it, then I just want you to be sure that you're okay with the traveling down there. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. So, and on our way down there, even though we didn't know a single person, somehow one of my closest friends was like, oh, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, we're driving to Houston. And she said, oh, well, let me call my brother who happens to be a nurse, but she didn't even know that he was a pediatric nurse.
Oh my goodness.
And so she calls me and she said, hey, so my brother used to be a pediatric nurse on the oncology floor. Yeah.
What?
Yes. And then, it gets better than that. So she said, not only that, but he actually stopped working there like a year or two ago. And so she said, but now he works in ophthalmology. So yeah, like literally, like, I mean, I still get goosebumps when I talk about it. Cause you know, what are the odds that this person, like one of the closest friends in my life actually had a connection. She had no idea what her brother did. She was like, I don't know what he does.
He's a nurse.
Yeah, he's a nurse. So he ended up getting our MRI results over to some of the doctors, and the head of the ophthalmology department there in Houston, Texas Children's, he came in on his day off. He brought in an oculoplastic surgeon. And when we were in the emergency room the next day, they said, you know, the emergency room people said, I know that the ophthalmology department is telling you that y'all are going to have surgery, but that really doesn't happen that way. So don't get your hopes up. You know, it may not be today. And literally 30 minutes later, they come back and they're like, this never happens, but you guys got squeezed in between two surgeries and you were having a surgery, you know, biopsy today. So, you know, once all that happened, I already knew at that point that something was up, right? I mean, they told us it's probably cancer. And you're still holding out hope during that time. Like, okay, maybe they're wrong. Maybe it's benign. But that day was, you know, it was confirmed that it was definitely malignant. And those few days were crazy. Like, but I definitely felt God's hand in every single moment along the way guiding me. And so there's like this mixture of emotions of like sadness, but then also like gratefulness for him leading me and for me actually listening.
Yeah. It just sounds like your steps were being ordered.
Yeah.
And he was directing your path and he was guiding you, and everything that he does is strategic. And just by you telling me this, everything was put in place just for you. Oh, wow. That's just amazing. So maybe it's the God that we serve. And when you say you had mixed emotions, it goes back to you were worried, you were concerned, but you had like a sense of peace because it wasn't like you had to continue to, what am I going to do? Because it was all set up for you. That's just the God that we serve. And I'm just excited for you just hearing.
Yeah.
I know the God that we serve, and I know that definitely his hands.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. So how did you keep it together? You know, you have the news, your steps are definitely being ordered, but you're still a mother, you still have other children, you still have a husband. How did you keep it together and really be the strong one for your child and for yourself?
You know, that's a really tough question. I think part of it is you're kind of in shock when you're going through it. At the same time, because of the sequence of events and just how much I felt like God had led us to a certain point, I had the sense that God didn't open these doors for us to have this like tragic ending, I guess. Mm. And I don't know if that's faith and hope mixed together, you know, because sometimes It's just really interwoven and intertwined and hard to really separate and differentiate. But I feel like I just had hope that things would get better. We had to leave my two other children back here in Dallas while we traveled to Houston. And that was hard. And then once we realized everything that we were going to be going through, it sunk in and it was hard. And even though you have faith, like there's still that fear. Sure. Because for me, having had lost my brother a year prior and just wishing on this miracle, because one thing about my brother was that he died for 24 minutes and they brought him back to life. And I was like, it's going to be a miracle. He's going to be a walking miracle. And he just never woke up from that. And so seeing, you know, having this faith that things will be fine because, I mean, he brought my brother back to life after 24 minutes of being dead. That just made it so much more real to me that my son's life was really on the line. And not knowing really what God's plan is, you know, it could easily entail me suffering. And I still think, you know, to an extent, I feel like I still suffer through this part of being a mother with a child with pediatric cancer. Even though my child is what they consider NED, no evidence of disease. There's still a lot of suffering involved in that, but you know, the idea of potentially being a grieving mother who has lost a child, like that was really real to me. And I had already felt grief through someone that I loved very dearly that I was like, oh my gosh, like, how am I going to survive this? But I knew throughout all of this, like no matter what, I would never turn my back to God because he had made himself so known to me throughout the past 10, 12, 15 years that it was just like, there's no way I could turn my back to God. But knowing that he may be calling me to suffer in a way that I don't want to, like, it was hard, you know? But you just pray and I've prayed and cling to hope is really what I've done. And part of also, I think part of the way that I work is I put my grief into action. And so when that's basically how family chemotherapy got started is because I felt like there was this need and I was going through something and I couldn't find something that I was needing to help me calm my anxieties or just feel like I'm connected to somebody in a way that they understand what I'm going through. And so I decided, you know what, I've got a counselor hat. I might as well put it on and use my experience and kind of direct some of those fears, anxieties, and emotions that I'm feeling and put them into words so that other people can relate to it and hopefully find a sense of comfort in their own path that they walk when they're dealing with pediatric cancer.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Ask you, how is he doing right now? Is he thriving? How is he at this moment?
You know, he's actually pretty good. He's one of those people who he never complains. He's never complained about pain. If he does, then we know that he's like in serious pain. he had to do chemotherapy and radiation, and the radiation has caused some side effects that we're having to kind of manage still. And it's getting a little bit more physically difficult on him, the chemo, as we get near the end. He was actually in the hospital this past weekend. It takes a toll on their body, but his spirits are always up. Like, his personality has actually blossomed and thrived through this all. Like, he has become his own little self, really gained a lot of confidence, and just the way that he talks to other people. Like, before, he wasn't, not that he was shy, but he was just a little more reserved with adults. He would just kind of wait and watch, you know, like, if to see if they were safe. Kids he would play like normal, but the adults, he was always just observing to see if they were safe. And now, like, he gets around an adult and all he wants to do is make them laugh, and he wants to be super silly. And so he has thrived in those, in different areas, even though physically maybe there's like that, you know, certain things that he struggled with, but overall he's done so well. And like, we're just very blessed that we're here at this point where we're able to say we're 1 week away from the last hopeful, you know, last treatment.
Yeah. So. That's exciting. It really is exciting. You know, Breathe Again is a moment of hope, inspiration, and solution. So we talk about the issues, but we want to give encouragement and inspiration and provide some hope for individuals. So we know that a parent, a mother or father, was given a diagnosis on this day about their child having cancer. Tomorrow, somebody will get the same diagnosis. What would you say to that parent, that mother, that father, that really does not know what in the world just happened? What did they just tell me? What encouragement would you provide to them? What would you say to them if they're listening right now?
I'd say probably the number one thing would be, outside of, you know, pray and have faith and cling to that faith, whatever it is, because I know some people, you know, may not be Christian, and some people are, but whatever it is that helps you remain positive and filled with hope and faith that things will turn out better, cling to that. And then second of all, your story is just that. Your child's story is his or her own unique story. And you can't sit there and compare it to another family with the same diagnosis, because every child is so unique. God made us each individually so unique. And one person's story is not going to line up with somebody else's story. Your life experiences are going to be so different. And so it's easy to get discouraged when you become part of this community, because we're surrounded by people who are losing children almost daily. And you see that, and it's so, you really begin to internalize that, because you're in it and you're wondering, is my child going to make it? But clinging to faith and taking time to have self-care, you know, practice self-care, and to also remind yourself that your child's story is unique and miracles do happen. No matter what, you can have someone who had a really terrible, what they call prognosis, right? Where they weren't expected to survive. They're saying it's terminal and God has healed them, or their body has healed them, whatever, right? I'm a spiritual person, so I believe that God has healed them and
absolutely,
and created this miracle in that person for whatever reason, whatever the purpose is that he has in mind, whether it just be a testimony of God's greatness and his glory and the power of prayer and faith. But there are also people who, you know, may have had a better prognosis who haven't made it. And so it's really, you know, to our detriment to compare our stories to somebody else's. And so just remaining optimistic and hopeful and knowing that no matter what, you can make it through whatever God has intended for you. And whether it be suffering through the loss of a child or through the long-term treatments that come after chemo and radiation and all the other treatments are done, you can make it through just taking it one day at a time and allowing yourself to have moments to feel like it's okay to not be okay. Because you don't have to pretend to be strong, and you don't have to be strong every time. This is something really hard that we're going through. And so those would probably be the main things that I would encourage somebody else going through this to keep in mind.
Very good. And where does your hope come from, Adriana?
My hope comes from the Lord. He has literally directed everything in my life. And, you know, I like to call it like God is flirting with me, right? I think he flirts with me through certain scripture verses. And my number one scripture verse, I'm like sharing it with everyone. And I tell even my husband, so now he's got different ways to know when I pass away, he knows exactly what to put on my tombstone, because he still doesn't remember. Mm-hmm. But my favorite scripture verse is Psalm 73:25. And the day my child, like that Thanksgiving day, I went to go create some, you know, my own version of Thanksgiving, since we weren't going over to family. I stopped by Walmart and picked up some veggies and stuff so that we could have at least a dinner. And my mom called me that day, and she is sitting there talking to me. And she said, "Oh, honey, by the way, you know, I got a message from a family member that doesn't really communicate with the rest of us. He just kind of communicated with her and shared the scripture verse." And she starts reading it to me, and she speaks Spanish. We speak Spanish. And so she's speaking in Spanish to me. And I'm like, "Mom, what scripture verse is that?" And she's like, Psalm 73:25. And I was like, I knew it. Like,
wow.
God's way of just telling me, like,
I got you.
I've got you. Like, this is, because if you don't know that scripture verse, basically I'm going to like totally mess it up, even though it's my favorite scripture verse. I'm like, but basically it's, "Who have I in heaven besides you? Earth has nothing that I want beside you." I know I'm messing this up. Basically,
and it's, "Who am I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the rock and strength of my heart and my portion forever."
There you go.
Yeah, that's the amplified version. So that's the scripture that you stand on.
Right. And so for her to read that, and my mom doesn't know that's my favorite scripture verse, and it's just like the most random way that she starts telling me this, you know, "Oh, this email that I got that was supposed to encourage her," because mm-hmm. nobody else knew about the diagnosis at that point. It was supposed to be for her to encourage her because of my brother's loss. And she's sharing it with me. And I'm like, "Mom, that is my scripture verse. Like,
wow.
that is God speaking through you to me, you know?"
Absolutely.
And so, I feel like God has really been there every step of the way, and just that subtle voice that's like, "Yeah, you might be crazy." Like, this voice in my head is like, "Is this real or is this not?" But, like, you know,
he's definitely real. Real to you. Talk to me a little bit about family chemotherapy, and what will individuals get when they go to the website? Who is it for? What resources do you have out there? Tell us a little bit about family chemotherapy.
So family chemotherapy is a blog. There's also a portion on there that leads to the podcast. And so it's basically resources for families going through pediatric cancer. And there will be topics in there that we go through, because once your child is diagnosed with pediatric cancer, there's a lot of focus on getting the child well, but the whole family system is impacted. And when you're looking for resources, there's not a whole lot of people who are trained or familiar with pediatric cancer. And so my goal with family chemotherapy really is to validate what people are going through, let them have topics such as, you know, when our friends ghost us because our life has changed and people just stop talking to us.
Have you experienced that?
Yeah, I have. And I've had that from family as well, you know, unfortunately. Yeah. And so when people close to you who are in your circle ghost you, things like that, like there's, it's like we grieve not only what's going on in our life with our child, but also externally our support system and our family. And so it's just a place for people walking through pediatric cancer to find resources that deal with topics relating to our mental health, basically, when they're going through pediatric cancer.
Wonderful. And what's that website?
It's www.familychemotherapy.com.
Wonderful. That's familychemotherapy.com. You know, Adriana, that's been our time. I'm just so grateful that you stopped by the show and you shared your story, your son's story, and the resources that you have and what you created for others, because it sounds like it's a place where like-minded individuals can come together and not feel strange, not feel they're alone, and other people that's dealing with the same thing can understand their walk and their talk. So thank you so much for reaching back and helping someone else. And you also, you know, it's not free. You have overhead and things of that nature. If individuals would like to donate, how would they do that? Because I understand that it's money to continue to do what you do.
Yes. So on the website, there is an area where you can donate and become a sponsor. I have a Patreon account as well. And so it's all underneath that one specific tab about sponsorship, on the website. So thank you so much for pointing that out, because yes, you're right. It's an overhead, but you know what? It's a passion project. And at this point, I will continue to provide it as long as God wants me to. So.
Amen. Amen. And on that note, we're going to close. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.